Peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use a reading out of Matthew 5 as the text and just emphasize the first verse. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? I have a hobby that some in my family have called a mental illness. I never throw anything away. And I have a very specific reason for that. You never know when you'll have a use for that thing, whatever it is. I like old broken handles especially. I break a lot of handles. You never know when just the one I saved will be the perfect one for me to have. And it works fine because I just get to throw the stuff in closets and in piles. But every now and then your wife will help you clean your office out. And there's this awkward moment when she holds stuff up and says, "What's the good of this?" And for the life of you, you don't even know what it is. But it's got to be good for something. And in the murkiness of trying to make that decision, you finally have to be honest and realize that you have saved a lot of junk. It's just trash. It ought to be thrown out. When you have a little problem like I do, you still can't throw it out, but you turn your back and your wife throws it into a large black plastic bag. And the room is cleaner. And then comes that humbling moment when you have to stand there before your wife and promise you will not go through the dumpster after she leaves, which is because it's worthless junk. Jesus seems to be saying that a life led without a godly purpose could be worthless junk and be fit only to be thrown out. And I know that I do not want to have a life that is just worthless junk. And I think the problem is that I have become lazy. And I believe there is a pattern in the Christian church for all the generations that I have at least read history on, of allowing society to make the rules that we just follow along. So through the generations of the history of our country, we have had rules that allow people to be sold as slaves. And we have gone along with it because, well, it's the law of the land. We have had times when women were not allowed to vote, and we've gone along with it because it is the law of the land. I could go on and on and on today. In society, it is legal to do things that the Bible would say are a sin. And in fact, if you simply say you believe the way God believes, people will make fun of you and criticize you and even accuse you of hating people. I believe we can be honest and follow the truth and not hate. I don't think this is a text about countries, but I think it does speak to churches. We take on the name, a certain name, when we build a building like this. We put a cross up on top and we call it a Christian church. And it requires that we be what Christ requires us to be. We cannot soften the rules because they are uncomfortable. We can't change them because somebody's picking on us. Went to a funeral Wednesday in Lebo, Kansas. A lovely funeral. Church completely packed full of people. Lasted 1 hour and 10 minutes. Lovely description of a woman who was famous for her kindness. And I knew the woman, had known her all my life, and she was a wonderful person. And I appreciated all the good things they said about her. The service was in a church that proclaimed the title Christian, and there were two pastors listed in the program. And I thought usually that means one guy's going to do the sermon and one guy's going to do the service. So one guy stood up, did a lovely service, quite a lengthy sermon, took a break, and the other guy stood up and he did a lovely service and a lengthy sermon. In the Lutheran row, there were stomachs growling up and down the line. Back home, we'd be eating tuna casserole by now, and we're in the second service. Then they gave a chance for the congregation to stand up and say fond remembrances of this lady, and they took advantage of that, one after another, great stories about what a wonderful person that she was, and they were great statements in the two pastors, in all of the testimonies. Name of Jesus, never spoken one time. Never spoken once. I believe every church that claims the title of Jesus becomes a special place. That we become that city on a hill. And it is required that you be what your name implies. You are a follower of Jesus. You are God's house. In our text, we see this means that we are required to say that all of his rules are true. And somehow everything we do, from the music to the artwork to the liturgy, to the messages, ought to shout out the name of Jesus. When it comes to the world and its rules, a church has to take a stand. We cannot join our critics and hate people. You are not allowed to hate people who disagree with you. But we are called to state the truth, and we are committed to follow the way of Jesus Christ. Well, that's mostly philosophical. It's not so hard to debate what the church is supposed to do. We could talk about that all the time and never come to a conclusion. It gets a little more complicated when we talk about the salt, because the salt's talking about you, and the salt's talking about me. Salt is a very valuable product, has been through all of history for the very many things it can do. The power, it's a funny statement, but the power from salt is only valuable if it's salty. It has no value if it's not salty anymore. We are called to be salty, and according to Jesus, we become salty by following his rules. And he says, every little iota of rule, every little bit of rule, all of the truth of God, we become salty by being obedient. Every now and then, there's a shadow of fear that drifts across the normal light of our day, and we get scared because we get to thinking we aren't very salty people. We spend our busy days solving problems, doing what has to be done. At the end of the day, we are worn out, we are exhausted, and we look back over the day and we wonder, did we do anything worthwhile? Was this what God called us to be? If we're going to be the salt of the earth, if we're going to be the light that shines in the world, do we get that simply by solving all those problems? And we begin to worry that maybe we have lost flavor in our lives, that maybe what we do or say doesn't matter anymore, that we aren't the people that are making a difference in the world. Jesus says, let your light shine. And the way he describes it is you are to do good works, and there's this tremendous thing, and point to the glory of God. There's a strong call that we're to be obedient to the rules of God. You don't get to change them to fit the times. You don't get to modify them because, well, it's just too hard to always follow the way of God. You are to be salty and flavor your life by making all that you do according to the way of God. That funeral that left out the name of Jesus was not a bad experience. It was an hour of honoring a woman who took godliness very seriously. Person after person would stand up and say, she was a second mother to me. I used to sit at her table and she made this great lemon pie and she would talk to me and I would get advice. She would have stopped them in their tracks. She would have been appalled at what they were saying, but the family wanted everyone to know how special she was. The thing is, they already knew. The kind of life you lead makes a difference in the lives of people, and you don't have to go explain it. It showed in what she did. If you want to live a life that gives glory to God, then you do it word by word, step by step, task by task. You simply do it by being obedient to God. I know you worry that your life is too normal. You worry that you're just doing ordinary things. I believe that the stories that are told at funerals are about those ordinary things. By the time you made a difference sitting at a kitchen counter or sitting out on a porch swing or working together out in the garden, that's where you do things that matter. Jesus is simply saying, do them according to the will of God. And there's a hidden jewel in all of this. Your life would change dramatically if you realize receiving the credit for all you do is not what matters. Giving God the glory is what matters. The world would be changed if people would stop simply having this need to get all the glory and understand that there's a joy in giving glory to God. We cannot leave this topic without figuring out that one last verse because it's devastating. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. That shadow of doubt that is cast over your life is cast by a bigger fear. What if you do more than waste your life? What if you have placed yourself outside of heaven? I mean, Jesus said you'll know a tree by its fruit, and you don't seem to be having that great of a crop of fruit these days. Maybe you aren't one of the followers anymore. There's this terrible scene in heaven that Jesus described when he separates the believers from the non-believers. He said, there's going to be a group of people come running up to him And they're going to say, we thought we were with you. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Is he talking about us? They thought they were there, but they were not. We try to be as good as we can be, but does our righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees? No, it does not. Those guys were awful good at following the rules. You cannot get there from where you are right now. And there is no hope for you to find that path in your life. That is finally my problem with the funeral. By the way, when we got church done first service, someone said my service lasted longer than the funeral. So that's already been told, okay? We ought to have a time to tell the stories about the people that have passed. And you, when you plan the services for people that you love, you need to honor their memory by having a time when people can tell the stories. It's not just a celebration of their life. It's a remembering of those special occasions, like holding up jewels that shine in the night. And when those people are special, we ought to get to celebrate their goodness. That lady in question would have had a fit. You know why? She would have said she is in heaven now, and she is celebrating life forever because Jesus, her Savior, walked the true way. Because Jesus, her Savior, paid the penalty, and because Jesus, her Savior, gave her the gift of forgiveness. And she would tell you, when you open your eyes in heaven, the face you see is Jesus, your Savior. I had my own story of her goodness. After my first year of seminary, first semester of seminary, I was at that enviable position of knowing everything. I mean, I knew everything. It was a great position to be. I've aged into complete and abject ignorance since then, but I was walking down the road by our farm, and she pulled over in their farm truck with her husband, Laverne, and she gave me a book. And she asked me, she said it was one of her favorite books, and she gave it to me as a gift. And because I knew everything, and because she was Methodist, I found some things that were wrong with the book. And I may even have told her some of the things that were wrong with the book, but I still have it in my library, and I looked at it the other day. And you know, that book shouts out the name of Jesus. It proclaims salvation. It describes the Savior. It celebrates grace and forgiveness. And I wish, somewhere along the line, I would have remembered to thank her. I got busy. Time went by. I didn't see her very much anymore. And I never thought to thank her for giving me that book. Funerals are a nice time to remember what people mean to you. It's too late to thank people then. They don't show up for their funeral. If you want to be a life changer, thank the people around you in your life. You cannot do it enough. And I don't mean to manufacture things. We take for granted everything around us so much that we forget to appreciate what people do for us. You could be someone who matters if you could just remember to thank people. It's one of the good ways your light shines in the world. Just tell people thank you. But I digress. Heaven is not what you earn when you are obedient. Heaven is what God gives you as a gift. You have a friend who earned it for you, and his name is Jesus. Step away from every shadow of fear. God has called you into his family. That is where you belong. There's a majesty. There is a miracle that God can take somebody like you and somebody like me and present us at the throne of God. And when we stand there, we will stand in the presence of angels and all their glory. We will stand in the presence of saints who are heroes for the faith. And when we're standing there, we won't say, I hope they don't notice I don't belong. Because when you enter heaven, you know you belong. And you know you are home. And you know this is where you are supposed to be. And you stand in the company of righteous because Jesus Christ has made you righteous. Before you get to stand in the presence of angels and of saints. When you are here where life is busy and where the troubles are big, and you are afraid that you are too busy to do the things God calls you to do, I want you to remember something very important. You are here to be a light that shines in the world because God put you here. And if you are the called, and if you are the chosen, and if you are the saved, and if you are the one destined for heaven, then you are the city on a hill. You, called by God to matter. You, called by God to be somebody. It finally comes down to the truth about the saltiness of salt. It matters how you live your life. we believe in Jesus, this is a text that says that Jesus believes in us. Jesus believes in you. He has high expectations that you will not let him down, so live like it matters. The next day of your life has no substitute waiting on the bench to take your place. God sent you into that moment. Maybe angels could do a better job, but he does not send angels. God sends you into that place. Trust that he knows what he's doing. And cast away your fear. You have the gift of life in heaven that cannot be taken away from you. Jesus has given it to you. Without fear, you can live a life that makes a difference. And maybe you would have to attend your own funeral to really see what difference you made in the lives of people, because maybe you will never know this side of heaven. I'm telling it to you now, so you can live your life with a kind of boldness and a kind of joy and a kind of enthusiasm. So rather than worry and fear, you will have bubbling out of your mouth the sound of laughter, that you will look around you and you will smile, because you will understand that you have been placed by God to belong to God here. So I call you to celebrate, I call you to be bold, and I call you to be salty. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen. At this time, we will receive our offering.